The bottle only lasted an hour, but others were easy to find, as one night of drinking became two, then three. Gut check, rebound, severe tire damage, names of clubs filled with civilians eager for Avery's money, but not the slurred stories of how he'd earned it. Except for a girl on a low-lit stage in a dive off Halstead Street. The pretty redhead was so good at pretending to listen, Avery didn't mind pretending it had nothing to do with how often he'd tapped his credit chip against the jeweled reader in her navel. The money drew her freckled skin and smell and lazy smile closer, until a rough hand fell on Avery's shoulder. "Watch your hands, soldier boy," a bouncer warned, his voice raised above the club's thumping music. Avery looked away from the girl, her back arched high above the stage. The bouncer was tall, with a substantial gut that his tight black turtleneck could barely contain. His strong arms were padded with a deceptive layer of fat. Avery shrugged.
"I've paid."
"Not to touch," the bouncer sneered, revealing two platinum incisors. "This is a class establishment." Avery reached for a little round table between his knees and the stage.
"How much?"
he asked, raising his credit chip.
$500?
"Screw you."
"Like I said, class."
"Already spent plenty,"
Avery muttered. His UNSC salary was modest, and most of that had gone to help with his aunt's apartment.
"Oh, now see?"
The bouncer jabbed a thumb at the girl. She was slowly sliding backward on the stage, her smile now a worried frown.
"You gotta talk nice, soldier boy."
The bouncer tightened his grip on Avery's shoulder.
"She's not one of those innie sluts you're used to out in Epsy."
Avery was sick of the bouncer's hand. He was sick of being called boy. But having some civilian puke insult him, someone who had no idea what he had actually gotten used to on the front lines of the insurrection, that was the last straw.
"Let me go," Avery growled.
"We gonna have a problem?"
"All depends on you."
With his free hand, the bouncer reached behind his back and pulled a metal rod from his belt.
"Why don't you and me step outside?"
With a flick of his wrist, the rod doubled in length and revealed an electrified tip. It was a humbler stun device. Avery had seen Oni interrogators lay into any prisoners with the things. He knew how debilitating they were, and though Avery doubted the bouncer had as much skill with the humbler as an Oni spook, he had no intention of ending up jerking around in a puddle of his own piss on this class establishment's floor. Avery reached for his drink, resting at the center of his table.
"I'm good right here."
"Listen, you jarhead son of a—"
But Avery's reach was just a feint. As the bouncer leaned forward to follow, Avery grabbed the man's wrist and pulled it over his shoulder. Then he yanked down, breaking it at the elbow. The girl on the stage screamed as ragged bone tore through the bouncer's shirt, spattering blood on her face and hair. As the bouncer howled and dropped to his knees, two of his partners, similarly dressed and built, rushed forward, flinging chairs out of their way. Avery stood and turned to meet them, but he was drunker than he'd thought and missed an opening blow to the bridge of his nose that snapped his head back and set his own blood arcing toward the stage. Avery reeled back into the bouncer's crushing arms, but as they rushed him out the club's back door, one of them slipped on the metal staircase leading to the alley. In that moment, Avery was able to twist free, give much better than he got, and stagger away from the noise of approaching sirens before a pair of blue and white sedans deposited four of the zone's finest on the club's doorstep. Stumbling along Halstead's crowded sidewalks, his dress uniform now as filthy as a set of battlefield fatigues, Avery fled from the paranoia of accusing glances to a dirty crawlspace beneath a riveted riser for the local maglev line, a repurposed brace from Chicago's old elevated railway, still recognizable despite centuries of shoring. Avery stuffed a green plastic trash bag between himself and the riser and settled into a fitful stupor. "Make me proud. Do what's right." This had been his aunt's instruction on the day of his enlistment, her small but strong fingers reaching up to cup his 19-year-old chin. "Become the man I know you can be." And Avery had tried. He left Earth ready to fight for her and those like her, innocents whose lives the UNSC had convinced him were threatened by men inimical but otherwise identical to him. Killers. Innies. The enemy. But where was the pride? And what had he become? Avery dreamed of a boy choking in the arms of a woman with a detonator. Imagined the perfect shot that would have saved all in the restaurant and his fellow Marines. But deep down he knew there was no perfect shot, no magic bullet that could stop the insurrection. Avery felt a chill that jerked him awake, but the near-silent rumble of a maglev passenger train overhead had only shifted the bag of trash, setting Avery's back against the perspiring metal of the old brace. He leaned forward and put his head between his knees.
"I'm sorry,"
Avery croaked, wishing his aunt were alive to hear it. Then his mind collapsed under the multiplicative weight of loss and guilt and rage.